Welcome once again, everyone, to a Baseball America podcast. I'm John Manuel. He's Aaron Fitt. It's the weekly college podcast. Aaron reporting live this weekend from an undisclosed location in Florida. Aaron, how the hell are you?
John, I'm doing great. I'm running on adrenaline right now.
Yeah, I guess so. You compared yourself physically to looking like Nick Nolte, so that can't be good. So we're glad that's just an audio chat and not a video chat today, but that's a special connection with you from Florida, so we hope everyone... It's our less than ideal technical edition today, but we've got more college baseball information than you can really shake a stick at, Aaron. So let's just dive right in. First top 25 poll of the weekend, of the season, I should say, and opening weekend, chalk at the top. 1 through 4. Anything, Aaron, from those top four teams, Texas A&M, LSU, North Carolina, Texas, that jumped out to you?
Well, I think all four of those teams were very impressive in different ways. You know, I think certainly, Texas A&M, I was very pleased with what they did offensively. I think that they showed some resilience in two of those games against a pesky Wright State group.
Very well-coached team in Wright State.
Yeah, absolutely. Always well coached, and the Aggies didn't get maybe as good a pitching as you'd think in a couple of those games, but they pitched pretty well on the whole. I think they were pretty impressive, and LSU scored just as we thought they would. I mean, that's a great offense, and it performed. But they also got very good pitching against Villanova, although take that with a grain of salt. Villanova getting outside for the first time, just like Wright State was.
Well, I think the most impressive one to me was Texas, Illinois, Chicago. Yeah. It's kind of like Wright State, a northern program that's a consistent winner, actually a more consistent winner in this from the same conference. And, again, very well coached with Mike Dean, that bunch up there at Illinois Chicago. And, man, what a dominant performance by the Longhorns to sweep that and to, give up three runs in four games is that's just really, really impressive.
Yeah, I agree with you, John. Now, to me, that was one of the most impressive performances of the weekend. Those guys pitched very well. Those sophomores, Chance Ruffin and Cole Green and Brandon Workman, were very good, and Taylor Youngman with a great debut.
Yeah, I think the main thing is here that I think we all agree Texas has maybe the best group of sophomores in the country. And I know we didn't rate them as the top recruiting class last year, but it was among the top ones. And boy, they're really that class has really matured. And I think they've got some offense, they've got some pitching. It's a really balanced sophomore class, and that's really the meat and potatoes of that team. Number five last week in our preseason poll was Cal State Fullerton. The Titans were our marquee matchup, Aaron. Let's talk a little bit before we get into this week's poll about that marquee matchup. And, Aaron, I think the main thing here is that TCU and Cal State Fullerton lived up to the billing, but TCU getting an impressive road series win to start the year.
Yeah, we had the Horned Frogs as a borderline top 25 team heading into the year. And I think that they proved this weekend that they probably deserve to be right in there. It's a really good, balanced club. And when I was talking with Coach Schlossnagel for the weekend preview last week, he's very excited about his team, and you can see why. I mean, they've got a good mix of quality seniors and very good newcomers. I like their arms. They're going to be probably seven or eight power arms deep. And they can score, as they showed this weekend against Fullerton. So, the Titans are going to be fine. There's no reason to worry about them. It might take a little time for the pitching to settle in. But TCU, very impressive this weekend. That's what I come away from here.
Yeah, and the Horned Frogs jump into the rankings at the number 23 team. Meanwhile, UC Irvine jumps up to number 5 from number 8 by winning 3 out of 4 on the road at Hawaii. They're followed in the rankings by Baylor, Fullerton falling from 5 to 7. Arizona State, UCLA, and Rice rounding out the top 10. And I think the story in that top 10 is Arizona State. The Sun Devils turn over their team significantly in the offseason. Not too many returning guys from that team that lost in the Super Regional to Fresno State last year. A team I think that was in our top 5 basically all year from the start of the year when they were preseason number 9, jumped in the top 5 and seemed to be there the whole season. This is a very different Arizona State team. You've talked a little bit to their coaching staff in the wake of last night's of this weekend series. What was the most impressive thing from their standpoint about the way the Sun Devils played this weekend and breaking in all those newcomers from Carlos Ramirez and Josh Spence to some of the freshmen on that club?
Well, I mean, they were really excited that they were able to get so many players involved. I think there were 12 or 13 freshmen who appeared in at least three games, or newcomers, I should say. Carlos Ramirez really stuck out the most, you know. Four home runs. I mean, he's going to slot right into that cleanup spot and, you know, gives Kipnis some protection. And their arms were very good. And I think maybe the most important development of the whole weekend was Seth Blair, the sophomore right-hander, throwing six very strong innings, just two hits, one run, eight strikeouts. He's got a huge arm, and if he pitches well, then they could go a long way.
Yeah, I mean, it's one weekend, and it's Wisconsin-Milwaukee, which has generally been a pretty solid program in the, I guess they're in the Summit League. I get them in the Horizon League mixed up. I believe they're in the Summit League.
Horizon.
They are in the Horizon League. Thank you for correcting me. But it's a solid program, but hard to know exactly how much Arizona State gets out of that. But, hey, they dominated number one. Number two, like you said, they got a lot of new guys involved. And, you know, it's an evolving process. They got 12 more regular season weeks. But Arizona State and UCLA, the top two preseason teams in the Pac-10, both get off the strong starts. Looking at the next chunk of the poll, Aaron, San Diego, Georgia, Ole Miss, Stanford. I think Ole Miss is probably the biggest disappointment in there. The Rebels lost 2 out of 3 over the opening weekend. And we kind of went chalk. Oklahoma 16, Pepperdine, Kent State, Clemson, Georgia Tech, all kind of holding serve. And our own Connor Glassy was on the scene in Greensboro this weekend. I think that's the series out of that group that impressed me the most, Aaron. You can jump in if there's another one that did for you. But for a team from Ohio, a northern team, to go on the road, it was cold down here this weekend. I'm making no bones about that. But for them to go on the road and sweep UNC Greensboro as impressively as they did, I think that speaks volume for Kent State. And they didn't do it with their big-time arms. They did it by bludgeoning Greensboro's pitching. And I know that you're enthusiastic about the Golden Flash's offense.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, people look at us ranking K-State in the preseason and think it's because they've got a couple of big pitching prospects. It's not just that. You know, it's the offense, to me, is outstanding. It's powerful. It's athletic. It's experienced. There's just a lot to like there. And you know, they scored 18 runs on Friday and 19 on Sunday and 6 in the middle.
Now, you were right the first time. It was 9.
It was 9.
Yeah, 46 runs in three games, I mean, or whatever it is a lot of runs. That's you don't do that by a fluke. You don't do that by the other team kicking the ball around. To do it all weekend like that, they were putting some good will on the ball. Teams like Kent State, to me, Aaron, when teams like that jump up, it's because they do have prospects, but you get your seniors back, and that's how a mid-major baseball program can make that jump up and win a regional or maybe get to Omaha. And, you know, that's kind of what they did a little bit. A guy like a Rohan, who's such a, what was he, league player of the year last year, was he not, in the MAC?
I believe he was, and what a weekend for him.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is like you said, they're not just a team with a couple of prospects that we're banking on here. This is an experienced team. They consistently either win the MAC or they're right at the top of the MAC. And I think the big question for them really is strength of schedule. They don't play a great schedule. So for them to get an at-large bid and not have everything come down to the MAC tournament, they're going to have more weekends like this, where not only they go on the road and play a Southern team and they really sweep them. Just like, you know, it was important, I think, for a team like Rutgers just to pull a team out. They weren't in the Big East, Big Ten Challenge this weekend. Rutgers, because then they did win a game at the University of Miami. That is important for a team like Rutgers. If they're going to be on the bubble, it really looks good to go down in February and for Rutgers to win a game for Miami. That's a big part for these northern teams if they want to be at large. If they want to get at large bids, they have to do things like that. I'm using that as a transition, Aaron, to transition into your weekend. You were down in the St. Petersburg area. You checked out first. Yesterday, you checked out Florida and Louisville. Florida jumps into the poll after sweeping the Cardinals. Louisville drops out after getting swept at Florida. You can talk a little bit about that series, but also if you wanted to just drop in what the most impressive thing was about the Big Ten, Big East Challenge, the inaugural Big East, Big Ten Challenge, besides, of course, the presence of our favorite sports information guy, Bo Carter.
Yeah, it was a treat hanging out with Bo, of course. But, you know, I'll tell you, Michigan was outstanding down there. They were the team that impressed me the most, you know, and it's because they've got a lot of power arms, for one thing. And you can read about that in Three Strikes today. But they've got a lot of young players stepping forward. And I think there's a contrast here if you compare them with Missouri, for instance. Both these teams have a group of sophomore power arms that they're relying upon this year, guys that need to step forward and shoulder more of a load than they have in the past. And Michigan's did and looked really good doing it. And Missouri's struggled. And the Tigers lost three games out there at the Grand Canyon tournament. So, Michigan, it looks really good. As far as the weekend went, I mean, I was just pleased to be able to see 14 different teams in 2 days.
That's insane.
Every team that I saw had a couple of guys who were prospects and just interesting, really good college players. And I mean, I saw several regional caliber teams. I think St. John's and South Florida are both going to be in there, that mix, and Notre Dame as well. So on the whole, it was a worthwhile weekend.
That really is an insane amount of teams to get to see, which is just the beauty of early season tournaments like that. So it's great that we were able to send you down there and you're able to see that. A couple other things I wanted to bring up, I guess, from that tournament, from that event, just going over the blog posts. How did Indiana look? Indiana was our preseason Big Ten choice. I think you saw them once at least. And then what did you think of Ryan Lockwood with South Florida, who's got this 30-whatever game hit streak and sounds like a guy who's really starting to make some noise. And it was there, obviously a lot of scouts were there to see him too. What were your take on those two things, the Indiana team and then also Ryan Lockwood of South Florida?
Well, Indiana was the one team I wanted to see that I didn't get to see.
Okay.
Because the way the event was set up, I think they were playing in Bradenton or Tampa the days I were there, and it was just too far of a drive to make it there. But I heard that they looked pretty good offensively on Saturday and Sunday. They did get a big win against South Florida. They lost pretty badly on Friday night. Matt Bayshore got lit up a little bit, their ace left-hander. But it sounded like he showed pretty good stuff. He just wasn't locating. So that's not entirely unexpected at this point in the season. As for Lockwood, I mean, he's a really good player. He's a grinder who puts the bat on the ball consistently. Very intense player, and he's got speed. He had some trouble in the outfield in the first game with the sun. Lost two balls out there, but I think that's probably just an aberration.
Okay, and then we got a couple other notes to talk to you about from the weekend. How about, first of all, have you got any reports from the Florida Gulf Coast Central Michigan game? It sounds like it was cold in Florida this week, and that had to be nuts to be playing a game at 12:01 in the morning. But the opener, the lid lifter for the entire season, I do think we need to give kudos to that team, for both those teams, for playing that game, don't you?
Oh, yeah, I think it's a neat idea. And I think it ended about 3:15 in the morning, and considering how cold it was the next day, I imagine it was really cold in the middle of the night.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I figure it had to be. And then you had I wanted to also throw in that Oregon wins the first game of their season. They went to St. Mary's. They lost 2-3, but they did win the opener. They won 5-3 with a four spot in the fifth inning on Friday night. So congratulations to George Horton and the Ducks. I just think it's really going to be very fun to watch how Oregon, a new program in the Pac-10, I got to imagine that they're going to struggle this year. But I've never seen a George Horton team struggle. But then George Horton has never coached in the Pac-10. And as great as we think George Horton is a great coach, he's got a national championship under his belt. Most of the time when you replace a legend like he did in replacing Augie Garrido, in most sports the guy who replaces the legend stinks. And George Horton built on what Augie Garrido did and make Fullerton in some ways a better program. I mean, added the ballpark and those kind of things. It's going to be fascinating to watch that story of Oregon this year coming into the Pac-10. I think another weekend series that jumped out to me, Aaron, was Elon going on the road and winning 2 out of 3 at Auburn. That just kind of jumped up and bit me. Elon's a regional team, and I know we discussed them for the preseason top 25, but were you surprised at all that they were able to go down and win 2 out of 3 at Auburn?
A little surprise, only because I really like Auburn's talent. And, we didn't have them projected for a regional big win of the year, but they've got outstanding talent, and they really could make a run this year. And I figured they would probably hold serve at home. But, Elon is very good. I mean, I think in my preseason breakdown spreadsheet, John, they scored very highly, almost into a top 25 range.
Are you talking about the fit matrix?
Outstanding offense.
Are you talking about the fit matrix?
The fit matrix, that's right.
We're going to refer to the fit matrix throughout the year this year, and I hope everyone gets to hear us make repeated fit matrix references. I also want to give some kudos to Cal State Bakersfield. They won two of their first four games this year, including doubleheader sweep of St. Louis on Saturday. So Bill Kernan and company, Cal State Bakersfield, relaunching their program. I think it's noteworthy to they came out and had a big weekend. And then I guess Coastal Carolina here, and also a team that we almost ranked this week. They go out and they win 3 out of 4 this weekend. They beat Kentucky a couple times. And then Oklahoma State, a rousing weekend, sweeping Manhattan and BYU in a three-team, four-game event. Anything else on the national scene that you thought needed mention in this week's podcast?
You know, I think we hit most of the key talking points. I mean, I think around the country, one thing that jumped out at me was that a lot of the big stars played very well, and particularly the Friday starters, the All-American guys. You know, if you look at our first team with Steven Strasburg and Kyle Gibson and Kendall Vols, and Alex White, they all pitched pretty well, you know, and I think that, the level of competition is probably a factor a little bit, but it's good to see those guys getting off to good starts. So it's going to be a lot of fun in college baseball this year. Just talking with Josh Holliday yesterday at Arizona State, he thinks it's going to be one of those crazy years where you think you got it figured out, and then 2 weeks later, it's completely different. So I think it's hard to get a feel this early in the year for who the best teams are, but I think we'll have a better idea in a couple of weeks here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just for you mentioned Alex White. I happened to be there Friday for his start. Left after he left the game. Didn't mean to be scout like in that way, but it was just too cold at Chapel Hill on Friday. The new Boschmer Stadium looked fantastic for whatever that's worth. But boy, Alex White was throwing pretty hard for an early season. I didn't have a radar gun on him, but, you know, after the fact, hearing some threes and some fours. But, you know, he got knocked around a little bit. He threw a lot of fastballs, gave up a few dings here or there, but he also gave up a home run. Some balls that were pretty well struck. I think the main point is you can't judge too much off of one weekend. Obviously, a top 25 poll is going to be reactive. That's what our preseason, this week's poll has some movement. We are a little reactive, we did drop Ole Miss 7 spots, but that's what a poll is. That's what it kind of has to be. But I think, like you said, the bigger factor is that this season there were those top. I think we were pretty sure those top 3 teams and maybe those top 4 set themselves apart from the rest of the pack. I know we considered 3 teams for number 1, Aaron, and so far that looks smart. But I think it is going to be pretty topsy turvy overall because none of those teams look perfect. You know, like in basketball, everyone thought North Carolina was going to be an undefeated team or make a run at that or be a clear number 1, or that UConn would be a clear top 2, top 3 team all year. Nothing's for sure in my mind in college athletics. Too much can change. I think that's true in the college baseball ranks as well. So we'll take your questions next week. Aaron's chatting today. If you want to send questions for the podcast, send those in at podcast@baseballamerica.com. Unless you got anything else, Aaron, we'll check back with you next Monday, where you'll be in Houston, correct, next weekend?
Yeah, I can't wait for that one. We've got 5 of the top 10 teams in the nation going to be the Houston College Classic, so it's going to be a heck of a weekend.
Well, that's outstanding. I know either Tuesday or Wednesday, I guess it's Wednesday, we've got Elon here at NC State. Tomorrow we have Coastal Carolina, I think, at North Carolina, so a lot of good local games here. Then you'll be on the road again next weekend, so plenty of college baseball action at baseballamerica.com. Really almost too much. It's ridiculous. We got Dave Perkin checking in from the Urban Invitational this weekend, a first-hand report on Steven Strasburg. It's going to get nuts. So for Aaron Fitt, I am John Manuel. Thanks so much for the download. We'll see you next week on the Baseball America College Podcast. Until then, so long, everybody.